What is this?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the program. How are you today? How are you? My God, you're looking good. Did you cut your toenails? My God, you look good. Look at those nails, all rounded and filed nicely. Nice job. Did you clip your ear hairs? I don't see any hair coming out of your ears today. Look at the nice job you did on your earlobes. Very, very nice. You're looking very... What happened to that oozing pus pimple you had on your forehead? Did you clear that up? Did you put some salve on it? Did you put something on it that cleared it up? I can hardly detect it. Oh, I know it's there, but it's not oozing today. You're looking so good. Did you shower? Your skin is like glistening. Did you shower all of us? You're really doing a great... Wow. Thank you. Thank you for looking so good for a radio program.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Look, it turned out to be that show, really. Good for you. Good for you. Good for clicking on this. Thank you. You really, I don't know how you do it. What do you have to do? Do you have to take the mouse and actually physically click on something? That's a lot. Thank you. That's a lot of stuff you did. You're a wonderful person. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it at all. Yesterday, I talked about money laundering. I get my money dry clean. I get it Martinized. Now, I talked about how I suspected that both Trump and Putin launder their money in other countries, and that's why they're so bro-like. That's why they are lovers of another dictating situation. They're both dictators, Trump wants to be a dictator. Putin wants to take over the world. They have that in common. They do. Well, they do. And that's not a political view. That's what it is. Anyway, I don't know about the money laundering, but I think if you follow the money, that's where you find the answers. And I made that show a comment yesterday. Well, today I'm taking money a step further in even a more disgusting manner as I continue my expose on money.
Money! So they say, is the root of all evil today?
Yes, it is. Yes, and I expose. Uh-huh. That's like a French way of saying expose. Did you expose yourself last night when I came out of the shower? Did you expose yourself to me? All right, here's the deal with the money thing, and I'm serious about this. I want you to go into your wallet or your pocketbook, depending on what gender you may be. I want you to go into your money-keeping thing. Open it up. Take a dollar bill out of it. Take a dollar bill out. I'll wait for you. This is important. You must do this physically. Otherwise, it will not have the full impact of which I intend. All right, take the dollar bill. Have you got a dollar? Seriously, come on. What's taking you so long? I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just trying to make a point. All right, you got the dollar bill in your hand now? Come on. Hurry up. Come on. I don't have all day. This show doesn't go on forever. Let's get it on here. All right, you got the dollar bill? Hold it up in the air. Yeah, okay, fine. Now you feel silly. All right, you got that dollar bill? Feel that dollar bill. Just hold that dollar bill in your hand and crinkle it up a little bit. You know, get the feel of the dollar bill. Have you done that? Okay, you've just touched a piece of paper that hundreds of other people have already touched, and nobody ever washed their hands. Ron, are you going there? Yes, I am. You bet I'm going there, because it's disgusting. Dollar bills, $20 bills, $10 bills, $5 bills are the most disgusting things on the planet. The only time they're clean with that fresh money smell is when they come hot off the press in your basement. Other than that, money is the dirtiest thing you touch in your lifetime. Even dirtier than that person that you met at the bar last night. Who washes their hands before they touch money, before they touch a dollar bill? Did you ever go to the store, you know, and you got your groceries? That'll be $37.50, which, by the way, is a very, very small grocery bill. That'll be $37.50. What do you say, okay, hold on, I got to wash my hands before I touch the money? No, you get into your wallet, into your purse, your pocketbook, whatever you call that freaking thing, and you take out the money and you hold it in your hands. Then you give it to the cashier. He or she pulls out other money that hundreds of other people have fornicated upon, and they give you the money. You touch it and you put it in your pocket. I mean, it is the dirtiest thing going. There is nothing dirtier than that. You're worried about who you had sex with? You had sex with like 300 people who had sex and then touched their money. And believe me, in some situations, after you have sex, you do touch your money. Do you know what I'm saying, prostitution friend? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dirty, dirty, filthy money. I'm serious. Thank God we don't lick dollar bills. Some of us smell them, which is also very, very odd. They're filthy. Just think about how many hundreds of people have touched that dollar bill since it's been in circulation. And you touched it. You touched the dollar bill of some of the most disgusting people on the planet. People who actually wipe their ass with dollar bills. I think rich people do. I mean, I've never been rich like that. Oh, no. I've never, like, gone to the bathroom and then wiped myself with a dollar bill. Actually, it'd be a $100 bill because you're rich. I don't know what they do with that money. Have you ever been to a strip club? No, I haven't either. What do they do with dollar bills in strip clubs? They fold up the dollar bill and they shove it into a woman's stuff. It could be between her breasts. It could be even lower. Yeah, the same dollar bill that you've been touching. I know. Nobody ever thinks about this. I think about things like this. That's why I'm here. That's why I get paid the big bucks that I touch. I think about these things. Granted, do we walk around getting, what did he die of? He died at a very young age. Do you know what he died of? Yes, touching money. Can you prove it? No. I believe he died of money-touching disease. I don't know if there's such a thing, but I'm starting it. The money-touching disease. Fortunately, we're getting out of the monetary world and getting into credit cards to the point where we pay for everything with a credit card. Everything. That way, it's just your germs. It's just no one's touching your credit card. Oh my God, don't touch my credit card. No one's touching that. No, you use that credit card yourself. That's a little cleaner than certainly bills that have been passed around from generation to generation I can't even, I'm so disgusted. Everybody's using credit cards for everything now. It's kind of getting a little stupid. Do you ever go into Dunkin' Donuts? Seriously, I've seen this. Younger people do it. I don't know what generation. Generation X, Generation W, the new gens, the five Jenners, the Bruce Jenners. I don't know what you call these. The millennials. These all sound like things that come from outer space. Did you see the millennials last night? Yes, and they abducted me and put me in the spaceship and took me to another planet. Millennials, Generation W's, will walk into a Dunkin' Donuts and say, yes, give me a plain donut, please. And the lady takes the wax paper and picks up the donut and puts it in a bag. How much is that? That's 70 cents. All right, here's my credit card. I'll put it in the machine. 70 cents on your credit card? Are you serious? Yes. Everything goes on a credit card, whether it be a donut or a car. It's amazing. So we don't have to touch cash anymore. But we do. But we do. Can you imagine going to the dollar store? All those people that touch that money? I'm talking about everybody. The customers, the employees, you. It's unfathomable. It's unfathomable. You cannot fathomable it. So, in conclusion here, next time you go into your wallet, purse, pocketbook, pocket, and pull out a bill, well, you just think about that. You think about all the people you're touching. It's worse than like Facebook friends. It's people you don't even know, even more you don't even know. Yet you've just started a relationship with them by touching the same thing together. I have no record of their sexual diseases, their habits. I have no record of that, but they touched the money, which I am touching at this time. And that's just paper money. Do you want to get into coinage? I don't think you do. Coins, oh my God, I think they're even worse. Because coins are like, they're just laid on things. At least paper money, we put them in a container, in a wallet, in a whatever, in a clean pocket with your snot rags. Coins, you find them on the ground lying in dung. They lie on a dusty table for months. They fall on the ground into crevices. I can't imagine the little microscopic animals that are living on pennies, and I don't know how they can live on pennies. Things are so expensive these days. Coins are even more people use coins to do more than just pay for things. They use them as to unscrew and to pry and to oh yuck, oh my God, I can't believe it. They lie in dirt and mud and filth, coins do. Do you wash your coins? No. Hey, I got a nickel. Did you wash that nickel? Wash that nickel right now. Put it in some soap and water. You wash that nickel. It's filthy. We don't wash our coins. Every once in a while, we'll get a new quarter, a shiny new quarter, fresh from the mint. A brand new shiny quarter. And don't we stop for a second and look at the quarter and go, whoa, that's a shiny quarter. I don't know what it means. It's worth just as much as the filthy, dirty one. But it's so shiny. Doesn't mean anything. It's just remarkable. I guess when you touch the shiny new quarter, you say to yourself, wow, I don't think anybody's touched this quarter before, at least maybe only 1,000 people. This is amazing. That's how dirty coins are. You can see how dirty you can. They're like blackened. They're filthy. They're not shiny anymore. You know these quarters have been through a long lifetime. You know that for sure. You know George Washington probably held that quarter in his hand and said, "Look, it's me." I'm telling you, man. You'd be very wary. From this moment on, you will never look at money the same. But a dog, we all look at dogs the same way.
Aww.
Little puppies, little cute puppies with their noses are still black. That's how you know it's a puppy. Their noses are black.
Aww.
Then they grow up and they start walking around and sniffing things. And by their time they're 5 or 6 years old, their noses aren't so black anymore. They're kind of getting rubbed off. There's like the blackness is, I don't know how that rubs off. But by the time a dog is an adult, their noses aren't black anymore. They're used noses, but they're still adorable.
Aww.
I know. We don't think that way about animals of prey. Even baby alligators, they're kind of cute.
Aww.
Till they take your arm off. But did anybody ever like turn on the lights at 2 o'clock in the morning in their kitchen and see thousands of cockroaches just scurrying and running for their lives? Do you ever think they're cute?
Aww.
Even after you squash them with your foot? That's one animal that just ain't cute. No matter how you slice that cockroach, man, it just ain't cute. There's no way of looking at that in a cute way. All right. Man, I've exhausted you, haven't I? I really think I have. I think I've exhausted you. I apologize for that. Well, actually, I don't. I don't apologize for that. That's whatever. You know what I'm saying? Whatever.
First, they put jalapenos on your hamburger, but that wasn't hot enough. Then came habaneros, but still, that wasn't hot enough. Next came the ghost pepper, and still, that was not hot enough for you. Well, buckle up, tough guy, because Burger Guy thinks you're not man enough to handle the heat of our new sweet flaming mother of heaven. What the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger? Featuring two of Burger Guy's signature paper-thin patties topped with an experimental hot sauce made from a concentrated hot pepper extract that has only been approved for military use by North Korea. This burger will burn a hole through every inch of your intestines and then slap your mama on its way out for good measure. This burger is so hot they wouldn't let us test it on prisoners. Death row prisoners. But for a limited time, you can try your luck at your local Burger Guy. If you're not a complete pussy.
All purchases of the sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must be pre-approved by a certified attorney at law with proper notification of next of kin. Sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger must not be consumed within 500 yards of schools or within 1,000 yards of open flame. All Burger Guy franchisees reserve the right to ignore cries for mercy or requests for immediate medical attention.
Do you know that spring water has an expiration date? I know. I don't understand that either. I buy Poland Springs spring water by the gallon. I know it's not really spring water. I know it's some fat guy sitting in a bathtub in Maine somewhere filling bottles up. I know that. But I buy it anyway because it's psychological. It's not what it is. It's what I perceive it to be. That's what life is, my friends. It's not what it is. It's what you perceive it to be. There's an expiration date that's printed on the plastic gallon of spring water. And doesn't expire too soon or anything, but it does expire eventually, and I don't quite understand that. I don't know how water can expire. How is that possible? That water's no good anymore? I don't understand that. I don't get that. Anyway, I drink it. I seem to be fine. All right. We have a great guest today. We're going to talk about people stealing your car. Oh, Ron, seriously? Yeah, I think it's, in the back of our mind, that's why when we go to a mall or any place, we make sure that we do that little clicky thing so the doors are locked. You know, either there's a little honk of the horn or a little bleep bleep kind of sound to make us know, perception-wise again, that we are secure now with that expensive piece of property sitting in a public parking lot. I know you do it. I do it too. So it's a considerable thing. I don't, you know, in the scheme of things, the most, well, there's the car. Then the only more expensive thing than that is a house. And the only more expensive thing than that is a wife. So, yeah. Oh, Ronnie, that's so funny. That was such a funny little bit about what's more expensive. And the most expensive thing is the wife. That is so funny. That is a riot. How do you come up with those cute little quips? And your delivery system is exquisite. All right, fine. Our guest joins us right after this.
You're listening to The Big Show by Sean Van Dan. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Frank Scafidi joins us now as Public Affairs Director, National Insurance Crime Bureau. Ooh, I should have some music behind that, but I don't have it. we're talking about, well, it's important to talk about this because you can be a victim of crime if you don't know the crime deals, and that's not good. But we're talking about our automobiles these days. And in general, has crime gone down on stolen automobiles?
Yes, actually. Peak year nationally for auto theft was 1991.
Wow.
We're over, you know, 1.6 million that year. And, you know, it stayed in that range for some years after, but in the last 10 or 12 years, it's dropped considerably. It's like 50% of what the problem used to be in the early 90s. Okay.
But it still happens.
It is still here. It's still with us.
All right. Now, I get paranoid every time I go to a mall, figuring that as soon as I walk in, someone's watching me walk in and abandon my car for a particular period of time. Is that the way that's usually done?
Well, that's certainly one of the ways. That's, you know, malls or sporting events where they have large parking lots that people go there for a long period of time. Yeah, they scope those places out, and they look for people or vehicles, more precisely, that they want to steal, and that's how they make an assessment.
You would think with all the security public cameras and private cameras, like at stadiums, for example, that I guess it's a reason why there might not be so many, but that doesn't stop some people.
No, I mean, the criminal element doesn't have, in many cases, doesn't have quite the intellect that, you know, most of us hope to have.
I gotcha.
Not to say there aren't some at the other end of the spectrum, too, that defeat even the most secure vehicles, but all that surveillance equipment that's out and about today, it does help, if not prevent the theft, capture the theft or the thief later on, for sure.
Okay, so how are some of the ways that we can prevent this from happening to us?
Well, you know, we have what we call our layers of protection at NICB, and the first one and the most effective one, really, is just common sense. You know, common sense in many ways is in great demand in short supply. But, you know, lock the car. If you're driving your vehicle and it's yours, you know, that's your baby, make sure you secure it when you leave it alone.
Yeah.
Just something as simple as removing the keys or the fob and locking the doors,
it just
discourages a lot of thefts. But beyond that, you've got certainly physical security devices and things you can do to your vehicle.
Sure.
You know, for minimal investment. And that could range from something as simple as the old club that we've seen, you know, steering wheel locks, fuel cutoffs or kill switches, which for older vehicles, you know, there's a way you can interrupt the circuitry from the ignition to the starter. Mm-hmm. And if you can't start a car, you can't steal it, generally.
Yes.
And then lastly, you got, you know, sort of the tracking devices, the things that you can have. A lot of times they come from the factory now, or you can get aftermarket GPS tracking devices or monitoring systems that'll tell you through your smartphone if somebody's messing with your vehicle, and also alert the police.
So,
you know, they're expensive, but in many cases, your insurance company will give you discounts too for your coverage.
Are there certain types of cars or colors that are more attractive to being stolen?
No, we don't. Well, certainly the cars. You find the higher-end vehicles, generally you're going to be stolen by people who have got a pretty significant organization behind them.
Okay.
Usually, not always. Yeah. I mean, and a lot of times those high-end vehicles are stolen and they're exported. They're just shipped out of the country.
I see.
Many other times, you know, the ones where somebody leaves the keys in the ignition, you know, sort of an imitation,
yeah,
or somebody just
or a joyride
can't figure out a bus schedule where they can steal a car.
Right.
I mean, that happens all the time, too. So it just depends on the opportunity. A lot of times these are crimes of opportunity.
Yeah, sounds like it. Tell me about the National Insurance Crime Bureau itself.
Well, we started out in 1912 as the National Auto Theft Bureau. As the name implies, that's all we looked at. You know, stolen cars, how to find them, how to identify them, and so on. And we've, over the years, got very good at that. And in 1992, we merged with another nonprofit that investigated insurance fraud, and we now became the National Insurance Crime Bureau. So in addition to auto theft prevention, and so on, we now investigate a variety of insurance scams or phony claims within the property and casualty industry. So that's everything from homeowners claims, you know, phony damage to a roof or a fence or even a vehicle, commercial claims, slip and falls, those kinds of accidents that you might see on a video in a newscast someday where somebody walks into a store and very calmly lays down on the floor and then starts dancing around and screaming in pain. Very common. And the surveillance that we mentioned earlier has gone a long way to sort of deflating that problem.
Yes.
And then we have a lot of phony accidents, really, in states where insurance, auto insurance is very sort of generous, like we call the no-fault insurance system. Those are very ripe to be essentially exploited by bad guys, and they do this to great effect. You know, it's a very lucrative form of crime.
Yeah.
So it's what we do mostly around the country, investigate those kinds of crimes and working with our insurance company partners. And where it's warranted, many of those cases will be brought to local or state or even federal prosecution.
Sure.
And that, you know, usually inures a benefit to all consumers when it comes to keeping their insurance costs in check or lowering them even. It just depends on, you know, kind of criminal activity in an area, kinds of insurance claims in an area, which go to increase or decrease are the cost that we all pay for insurance.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff. So if someone does steal our car or something like that, what's your first course of action? What do you do? A lot of people don't know what to do because they get all upset.
That's true. I mean, it's a very sort of a, you know,
yeah,
it's an emotional event for a lot of people. So the first thing to do is to call the cops, call the police, call the police, report it, make sure you're able to report it with the proper information. So it's important to have a VIN number, the vehicle identification number, along with your license plate number, handy sometime at some place, so you can at least give that to the police.
Good idea.
And once that is taken, it goes into our national system where hopefully it'll be recovered in pretty quickly. But aside from that, you know, just if that's what happens, if your car is stolen, report it. And then if you're covered for it, obviously report it to your insurance company. And just, you know, try to do what you can before that to protect the vehicle.
Okay.
You know, just follow our basic theft prevention tips. And hopefully, you know, you won't be victimized by this problem.
Very good. The VIN number, by the way, can be found on your auto insurance policy, which you better have one.
Correct.
Yes. Okay. How do we get more information about all of this?
We have a very useful website, nicb.org. And if you go, consumers can visit that. Anybody can go there. And actually, one of our features that's on the website, it's called VinCheck.
Mm-hmm.
That is a free service that we provide to anyone that's interested in buying a used vehicle, wants to make sure that that vehicle is in good shape,
good
or at
idea.
Least hasn't been reported stolen or hasn't been declared a total loss at one time. So it's not comprehensive. It's reliant on the participation of our member companies. But all of those companies collectively cover about 90-91% of the vehicles. So a tip to people looking at used cars, if they see one they really love and they've been looking for a long time and this vehicle is like super cheap compared to what they're expecting,
check it out.
That's the hair on the neck ought to go up.
Yep.
Beware of that.
Gotcha. Well, he's Frank Scafidi with Public Affairs Director. He's the National Insurance Crime Bureau. Thank you so much for the information. Pretty cool. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate it as well.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for your patronage today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. I hope you join me at some point tomorrow. Your choice. No, it doesn't matter what time. I'm always here. We're on all the platforms, man. We're on iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Radio Public, YouTube every day, Podbean Network, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, Podbay, just to name a few. Until tomorrow, I wish you peace.